Welcome back to another Edge God In podcast. Thank you for pushing the pause button today to edge God in to your mind, your will, and your emotions. Our mission statement at Edge God In is to champion your human potential in Christ. We can do nothing, my brothers and sisters in Christ, without the power and the strength of God within us to overcome those shiny objects that are out there that too often hijack our sense of self-worth, our value, and what we believe we're capable of handling successfully. One of our foundational verses is Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm and don't allow yourself to be burdened by the yoke of slavery. And today we're going to be talking about the yoke of slavery to our emotions. When you walk away from this podcast, you are actually going to have the opportunity to take a deeper dive into Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. There are actually 21 very specific instructions that Paul lays out for us that are very applicable today. The title for today's podcast is 21 Ways to Put God's Love in Action. And I'm not alone today in our time together. I'm very excited to introduce a colleague and friend of mine, Richard Cummins. He actually goes by Rich, and he is the CEO, the current CEO of Lead Like Jesus, which is a global leadership training. And I've actually referred to Lead Like Jesus several different times. We actually had the former CEO, Phyllis Hendry, with us on a podcast in the past. So Rich is the current president, CEO of Lead Like Jesus. And really their goal is to champion the leadership training by equipping organizations with ministry centers in 24 nations. Rich believes that Jesus is the greatest leadership role model and the prime example of healthy social emotional understanding. He has his master's in organizational leadership, and he is a rock star in Christ when it comes to studying the impact of emotional intelligence on burnout. And as you've heard me share in our last podcast, we recently launched a book, and Rich and I are co-authors along with Dr. Estella Chabu and with Ken Vogas. And we've launched the pre-sales for this book at emotionalintelligenceinchrist.com. So Rich is here to join me today to take a little deeper dive into our emotions in light of the verses I mentioned from Romans today. So Holy Spirit, grant us the grace today to be attentive. There is a reason why we are all gathered today. There is no accident that whoever is tuning into this podcast today, that you have something for them. So we give ourselves over to you. May the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight for your glory and the edification of everyone who's listening today. There's something that they're bringing with them, and you desire to set them free by your grace and by your love. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Rich, are you there?
I am here. Glad to be here, Lauren.
Yay. I'm very excited to have you on board with us this morning. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read these scriptures here, Rich, and then we're going to jump in to our conversation around these scriptures. The scriptures today, again, are from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Listen closely and attentively. What is for you today? These are instructions, invitations. Ask the Holy Spirit, where do you want me to up my game? Which of these 21 instructions lands for you today and directly speaks into your emotions these days? Because there's tons of offense going on out there. So we start with verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. bless those who persecute you. Ooh, that's a good one. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge and I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So my question, Rich, how is this possible? Emotionally, intelligently speaking, these are 21 specific instructions. And I love the fact that you have focused on studying the impact of emotional intelligence on burnout. As followers of Christ in our current culture, this is a very timely topic. I'd love to hear your thoughts around the how-to piece of this. How do we do this and keep our emotions in check so our love is sincere, so that we hate what is evil, cling to what is good, love our enemies, all of that good stuff?
Well, yeah, great question, Lauren. And I would say the how-to, well, if the how-to was dependent upon us alone, the how-to would be a not possible. Mm. And so we know with Christ, all things are possible. And as our identity transforms, in fact, our identity becomes that of Christ, then he becomes all sufficient in our lives and we can battle through this thing called offense. You know, I've heard it said this way, that the plan of the enemy or the goal of the enemy is to kill, steal, and destroy. And his strategy is to divide us, and his actual day-to-day tactic, the way he gets it done, is through offense. And so the how-to, as I look at even these set of verses in Romans, when you look at the verse that talks about live in harmony with one another, well, that's easier said than done. And I think it's done through Jesus Christ in us and through us. And when we can really find our identity in that way, then we realize that the offense buster becomes the hope we have in Jesus, and Jesus lived out. I love the conversation. I love the dialogue. So any other questions you have around that are much welcome, because I think even I and others around us have so much to learn about this topic.
Mm, absolutely. The piece about the harmony, live in harmony with one another. That's easier said than done. It's easy to live in harmony with people we like. Mm-hmm. It's easy to live in harmony with people that have our same point of view, our same perspectives on life. When other people differ and strongly differ from our perspective on life, where do we go for our anchor in terms of being able to make God recognizable in the midst of difficult conversations like that? What does that look like for us in applying emotional intelligence, right? How can we be self-aware of our emotions when somebody says something and it's against what we believe in Christ? And so we're called to love our neighbor as ourselves. I'm kind of throwing a bunch of different thoughts out there just to stimulate dialogue on this, because this is a tough thing, living in harmony with other people that don't agree with the way of the cross or don't agree with what Jesus says, harshly don't agree. What do you do with that?
Great question. How do you love the unlovable? Another question. And I would say this, that, you know, it's Christ in us that we have to rely upon and realize that our enemy isn't the person in front of us. Our enemy is a supernatural enemy that's trying to get us to respond in ways that would hurt, harm, and even destroy the other. And so I would say the first thing we got to do is we got to assume positive intent from others, mm-hmm. even when we're not receiving it. And then I'll tell you another thing that I've just been thinking about, Lauren, and I call it the three P's. you know, and we can't take things personally all the time. Just can't take things personally. If something says something that could trigger us or has an action to that could potentially offend us, we have to stop, realize that's not the enemy in front of us. Don't take it personally. And then the next one is don't make it permanent. And just because this person might have hurt us in a certain way, don't assume that it's always going to be that way. And then finally, I would say pervasive. A lot of times we get hurt or offended and we apply it to everything in our lives. We say, you know, maybe if this person hurt me in this way, I'm going to be hurt forever, always and in every way by this person. So I would say, try not to take things personally. Don't make things permanent and don't apply them in a pervasive way. And always look at the other with positive intentions.
That's powerful. So not what I hear you saying is to not take things personally, which just saying, that's a hard one, brother. I just have to say, I mean, just not, how do we not take it personally? You know, someone says something, you wake up and it's a great day until you run into someone that triggers you. They open your mouth or you read something. There's in the remote field these days, in the news, there's tons of triggers that are happening that are literally Satan's using to rob us of that sense of peace that passes all human understanding. Mm-hmm. What does that look like, boots on the ground?
Boots on the ground is exactly what I said just a little bit earlier, is we got to remember that there's a cosmic enemy out there, an enemy for our souls, an enemy that seeks to steal, kill, and destroy our very lives and the person's life in front of us. And we have to remember that that person in front of us, while they may be trying to hurt or trigger us, they are made in the image of God, and we've got to love them that way. And remember that this isn't about the moment. This is about something much bigger. This is about eternity. And the way we witness to that person, the way we react to that person, that is going to model Jesus in one way or another to that person. And Lord, help us if we are modeling Jesus as somebody that is abrupt, somebody that is temperamental, somebody that is a loose cannon. Let us model Jesus with peace, love, patience, kindness. Let us model Jesus with the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen. And as I've often said, the last fruit of the Spirit is the caboose that makes all of the other fruits possible. And that's self-control. If we don't have that self-control, then love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness is truly unreachable. And I'd like you to talk a little bit more about that statement that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and he uses what he uses is offense. Can you repeat that again? Because I just think that is, I don't want to drive by that too fast, because I believe that as we understand, I remember in Taekwondo, the more I studied like the moves of my opponent and knew how they were in the ring, then I was able to be more successful at countering those moves, those negative moves toward me. It's the same thing spiritually speaking. If we train up outside the ring and understand the devil's tactics, then we're more likely to be able to evade with the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you could just repeat that statement you made a couple of minutes ago, actually probably about 10 minutes ago, you started out with it. I'd like to just ask a couple of questions around that for our listeners so that they can really understand this piece. And this is an aspect of emotional intelligence as well, to be able to be aware. Self-awareness is the first step of emotional intelligence, or in our book, Emotional Intelligence in Christ, we've reframed it into identity in Christ.
Mm-hmm. So goals. The enemy has a goal, just like we would have a goal with our very lives. The enemy's goal is to kill us, to steal souls from heaven, and to destroy the kingdom on earth. That's his goal. And then how is he going to get there? Well, he's going to get there if he divides the body in particular, if he divides us as Christians and then divides the Christians from the world. The word says, Bible says, the enemy, the great accuser, sifts us. He separates us. He divides us. That's his strategy. And then his tactic, what does he do day in and day out in order to meet his strategic objective and fulfill his goal? Well, he does it through offense. He can divide us. if we're mad at each other, you know, if you cut me off in traffic, and if I'm, you know, I'm driving up next to you to say a gesture, say a bad thing or give you a gesture, he is trying to make us offended on a day in and day out basis. And we're seeing it play out in our nation and in the world. I mean, at such a fast pace, we are moving at a supersonic, hyperactive pace, busyness, hurriedness. And so there's no time for anything little to happen without people flying off the handle. So you're seeing it play out daily through offense.
So true. And the other verse, and I know we have talked about this offline, is that at the end times, offense will increase. Mm-hmm. And I, particularly the conversations that I've been having with people, I'm not the only one that's seeing that, that there is an incredible increase in offense. What's interesting, Rich, is the etymology for the word offense comes from the word scandalon, which is actually the part on the a trap to trap an animal that snaps down on the unsuspected victim. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a cool visual to think about that as you're talking about the devil uses, he divides using, he still kills and destroys, and he uses offense to divide us. And offense is that trap, the meat hanging on the trap. We take it and we bite, mm-hmm. we become offended, and bam, he snaps down on us. What is the ramification, emotionally speaking, when we do take offense?
Well, we have the opposite of harmony. We have dissonance. We have division. We have two human beings that can't see eye to eye. And then ultimately, what does that do? Well, it ensnares and it entraps us in our own anger and our own hurt. It ends up, I think you might've heard it like this. I've heard it like this, that when we become offended or angry at somebody, offense and bitterness ends up being kind of like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Well, you become entrapped in that. You become ensnared and the devil is having his way with you.
Mm-hmm. You wrote the chapter, really got into the chapter, which is the second phase of emotional intelligence. And we reframed it to self-control. Mm-hmm. The first one is identity in Christ. The second one is self-control. They walk hand in hand with the most commonly used terms to describe the four elements of emotional intelligence, that being self-awareness is identity in Christ. Self-management is self-control. Can you tell us a little bit more about the importance of that second phase of emotional intelligence and its relationship to stepping away from offense and making these verses come alive in our lives?
Yeah, another great question. So self-control is part of what we would call self-management, and that's being able to have an ability to regulate your own emotions. And so a big issue that a lot of us deal with is instant gratification, this impulse deal. And when you can control the impulse or the instant gratification, then you can begin to have an ability to manage your own emotions. And so that could be losing your temper. It could be having a loose tongue, wanting to lash out at somebody, or it could be pounding the fist or doing things that you feel in the moment because you're not able to regulate that emotion. Well, having self-control or control over your emotions allows you to stop and to pause, take a breather, think it through, don't engage the impulse that's going to have consequences later on.
I once heard someone say that if you want to starve a negative thought that fuels an impulse, it's important to starve it of your attention or to offer a distraction. And in our case, it would be a conscious choice to, as Paul says, turn away from evil. Mm-hmm. The last verse, 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And it really is taking every thought captive when it comes up and make it obedient to Christ in that area for impulse control. It's interesting, Rich, because it continues to be one of the top traits of effective leaders, impulse control.
Absolutely. When you think about those traits that are going to help advance a leader, impulse control, the ability to deny the instant gratification becomes so ever important. And so how, I think you asked this earlier, and I think it's a good question. So how do we live this out? How do we walk it out? How do we turn the corner? So Lauren, if it's okay with you, I'll give a couple of snippets of the book, a little snippet of the book. So I'd say if you want to have the fruit of the Spirit, if you want to be like Christ, then we need to have the habits in our lives that will produce the fruit of Christ. And so, you know, we look at some verses in John 15, and talking about the vine and the branches. And in order to bear fruit, we need to stay close to the source. The source is Jesus. And so when we think about the enemy had a goal to kill, steal, and destroy. And what did Jesus do? Jesus did only the things he saw the Father do, and he only did the things the Father told him to do. And so what do we know about his life, the habits that he built in his life to stay on track with what the Father's will was for him? Well, Jesus took time to spend time with the Father. He withdrew to lonely places. Jesus actually practiced solitude. He spent time with the Father. So when we begin to do that, we slow our worlds down and we learn how to discern the will of the Father. But that's not just it. There's some more elements to it as well. Jesus also read and applied scripture. Even when he first day in ministry in the temple, you know, he's unrolling the scroll and reading from Isaiah. Scripture was a very important part of Jesus's life. But what else did he do? Jesus practiced prayer. He prayed daily, frequently, often. He prayed. And then another one that's very important is Jesus had supportive relationships. You know, Jesus had obviously the 572 and the 12, but he also had the three, Peter, James, and John. Those three had greater access. Jesus shared from himself. He wept in front of them. He grieved in front of them. He gave them great access. So what do supportive relationships look like? Well, there are those relationships that are full of grace because Jesus came with grace, but they're also full of truth because Jesus also came with truth. So having people that want us to live out our God-given purpose, but aren't afraid to tell us when we're going astray, those friends that can be truthful and honest with us and accountable, those are good relationships. And then I would say that the last habit to be more like Jesus is to accept and abide in the love that God has for us. So often we trash ourselves, Lauren. We put ourselves down, and out of that hurt, we hurt others. But if we truly were to view ourselves the way God does, and we received and accepted the love that he has, we would be fountains of that same love pouring out all over everybody we meet.
Absolutely. And I love that you brought in that and gave a little sneak peek of that. And that originally actually stems from the Lead Like Jesus book. And there's one that was just revised by Phyllis Hendry, Phil Hodges, and Ken Blanchard. That's an excellent book. We also have included that habits within the, and there's three other areas as well in our Emotional Intelligence in Christ book. So powerful, Rich. I really appreciate you bringing that in. And again, for listeners, check it out, emotionalintelligenceinchrist.com. And we're doing the pre-sales now, and we are linking a course to that. Rich, why is this such a timely, I one of my undergrad studies was journalism. And I remember we used to say, make sure that whatever you're covering is truthful. Make sure that it's timely and newsworthy because it's truthful and it's not deceitful. Things have changed quite a bit from when way back in the 80s when I was in journalism school, I have to say. But this is a very timely and newsworthy topic, emotional intelligence. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I think it's very important. As you mentioned before, I've studied emotional intelligence as a a set of skills to mitigate burnout, because burnout's also a big issue in our day, our time, and our culture. But I will tell you this, when we think about offense and division and sifting, it is not hard to see it all around us. Whether it's your political affiliation, maybe you're an elephant or you're a donkey. Maybe it's your race. Maybe it's whether you're a vaxxer or an anti-vaxxer. Maybe it's if you're a citizen of the United States or an immigrant. There's just everything is set for us to separate and be divided and apart. And I think emotional intelligence is very important because it stops us in our tracks. It requires that we think about what we are feeling. We control those feelings. We have empathy and realize how the other is feeling that's next to us. And then we look at how can we improve that relationship? How can we help them be all that God called them to be? How can we live in harmony with that person? And how can we stop the enemy in his tracks? And so I think when we slow our world down and we begin to look at the other the way God sees them, they're made in his image, then we can begin to treat them with the dignity and respect they deserve. I'm going to give you one more thing, Lauren, one more thing. So we talked about how to be more like Jesus and the habits that keep us on track. But then there's the doing habits. And this is what's really cool. When we look at emotional intelligence and how it can be walked out, if we are close to the vine and we are practicing the being habits that I mentioned earlier, then we will begin to forgive. We will begin to extend grace. We will begin to encourage people, and we will actually live out that love that we've been abiding in.
Wow. That's the foundation truly for the 21 instructions, wouldn't you say, in the Romans chapter 12. That's only possible by those doing habits that flow from abiding in the vine. We can do nothing of ourselves. When we do abide in the vine, then that's what unlocks the possibility for us to love with sincerity, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another, never be lacking in zeal, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, bless those who persecute us, rejoice with those who rejoice, live in harmony with one another, all the way down to not being overcome by evil, but overcoming evil with good because of that deep-rooted relationship that we have with Christ, which makes the Christ connection with other people, which is the fourth phase of emotional intelligence possible. So I really appreciate your insights into that second phase of emotional intelligence today, Rich. Any closing thoughts?
Well, I'm so glad you invited me in and to be a part of this. And I guess my closing thought would be this. Without Jesus in our lives, all of this is idyllic and all of this is a pipe dream, because it's impossible to die to self if Jesus isn't part of our lives. It just doesn't work. And so I really think emotional intelligence in Christ is going to be monumental to help other people because of the in Christ part.
Absolutely. Would you please close us in prayer today, my friend?
Be glad to. Heavenly Father, gracious God, you've called us to live in harmony with one another, and you've given us the blueprints. You've given us a map on how to do it, and it's the life that was lived by your Son, Jesus Christ. I just pray that you would help us to lift him up as the model, and I pray that you would give us that grace each and every day, and that a love that we abide in so that we can truly love those who are around us that you've created us to have harmony with. We love you, Lord Jesus. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Rich. And again, you can check out this work, this project. We're calling this a God project because he poured it into our lap to take action at emotionalintelligenceinchrist.com. Give them heaven out there. There's enough of the dark side going on. Stand firm and make God recognizable today. I look forward to our next podcast together. Enjoy your gift of life.